The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 17th, 2018.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Kenneth E. Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a day here in Sonoma County. I mean, the weather, we're finally getting some rain, which is really exciting to me. I mean, keep on raining. Come on, let's get nice and wet. I have one special guest with me in the studio, Nancy Wong, who's one of the founders and president of the Redwood Empire Chinese Association. And I have to say that Nancy is one of our activists here in Sonoma County. I met her when we were both on the community advisory board, and she was one of the most friendly and easiest people to talk to. So I'm welcoming her today on the show to talk about not only the association, but also to talk about the Chinese New Year. We're moving out of the dog into the boar, and it's going to be an interesting conversation. I have a special announcement. On Wednesday, the National Organization for Women, now the Sonoma County chapter, as you know, I'm the president, I'm proud of that, will be having a little holiday gathering and meeting on this Wednesday, December 19th, from 1 to 3 at the Round Table Pizza on Guerneville Road and Marlowe Road here in Santa Rosa. We'll be having a little pizza, some drinks, and meet and greet, and just, you know, just say hi to each other, to the members, and to the executive board. I hope to see you there, and if you folks that are coming down, I will give you a little card with the Women's Spaces pledge and a big hug. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, I got to say something here. You know, I've been hearing this whole thing about it's what's politically correct. You say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. I don't know what to do anymore. So I did a little bit of research and I found out, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There are 11 different celebrations. They got St. Nicholas Day, which is a Christian, the Fiesta of the Lady of Guadalupe, which is Hispanic, St. Lucia Day, which is Swedish, Hanukkah, which is Jewish, Christmas Day, which is Christian, Three Kings Day, which is also Christian. Listen to this. Boxing Day in Australia, Canada, England, and Ireland. Kwanzaa, African American. Let's see, Japanese. O-M-I-S-O-K-A, the Omasaka celebration. Pagan, Yule. And then finally again, the pagan Saturnalia. S-A-T-U-R-N-A-L-I-A, which is a pagan holiday. So what I want to say is happy holidays to everybody. You know, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, you know, good luck, Hanukkah, all the different holidays. Just have a good time and enjoy it. You know, what's politically correct? You know what's politically correct? Let's stop all our wars and learn to live peacefully together and enjoy the diversity of our communities. I have another, a little bit of announcement. I want to remind you that at December 31st at the Redwood Cafe over in Cotati, the Peace and Justice Center is going to be having their annual fundraiser. Very important that we support our Peace and Justice Center. And if you want to find out more information, just go on their website. It's the Peace and Justice Center here in Sonoma County. It's going to be happening, like I said, the 31st. And actually, we are going to be on the air. It's going to be, I can't believe that Women's Spaces is actually going to have the last day of the year that we will be recording. So I encourage any of my listeners out there, if you would like me to call you, that you'd like to say Happy New Year or wish me good luck or anything you'd like to say on the air, email me at elaine at women's, womensspaces.com. Let me know you would like me to call you and give me a phone number, and I will call you beforehand and we'll talk about what you're going to talk about. But once again, the Peace and Justice Center is going to be having their annual fundraiser. That's going to be December 31st at the Redwood Cafe in downtown Cotati. I also want to do a shout out. If you remember last week, I mentioned that I was going to the Sonoma County Conservation Action Christmas party. I want to do a shout out for them for what they're doing for our community as far as endorsing candidates, as far as looking at the environments, working on, they're working very hard on making glyphosate not happening here in Sonoma County. And I just want to do a shout out to them and wish them much success over the next year and thank them so much for welcoming me. And like I said today, remember, we're going to be having the National Organization for Women is going to be having a gathering at the Guerneville Roundtable Pizza. And then, very important, mark your calendars. There's two dates coming up in January. On January 10th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the 3rd Street Cinemas, the Women's March is going to be presenting the film of On the Women's March, and it is absolutely a free event. And you can see all this information on our website. And then on the 19th of January, we're going to be having the Women's March, and I'm really, really excited about that. I mean, I am looking forward to it. I know KBBF is going to be there with a table. I know Women's Spaces will be there tabling. We will have the National Organization for Women tabling, and I think every organization in the county is going to be there letting them know that we support the Women's March. So that's going to be January 19th at the downtown Santa Rosa Square, and I will have more information for you next week. And then one last thing, you know, one of the things that I have been attending of late is these discussions. It's called Unshackled, a monthly racial discussion group. Let's heal together as a community. And it's led by an African-American woman by the name of Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence. And they're going to be having the next meeting on January 2nd. That's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. It's going to be at the Arlene Francis Center, and that is at 99 6th Street in Santa Rosa. And like I said, everything is going to be on the website. You know, there's no reason to be bored. You know, there's lots of good stuff going on, and the most important thing is that we can stand up and become involved. And there's several ways you can become involved. You know, some people can't go to marches. You know, some people can't join organizations. You can always contribute. You can contribute to your local organizations. You can also, the most important thing is please become a member of your local community radio. And how you can do that is just go on www.kbbf.org. Look at the right-hand side, and they'll give you all the instructions you need. But it's very important that you support this show and you support our station here at KBBF 89.1 FM, Santa Rosa. Well, that's enough for announcements. Boy, lots going on in our community. Well, I'm going to do something a little bit different for this show. You know, before we have our guest on, I am going to play a special CD. In 1975, I graduated Sonoma State, and I was so proud of myself. I mean, let me tell you something. I was voted actually the least likely to succeed when I went to high school, and I think it's because I was a little bit on the wild side. But I was very, very honored when I was voted by the student body to be one of the main speakers at my graduation. And what was so interesting, you know how you tell stories, you say, oh, I did this, I did that, but where's the proof? You know, I had the black and white, I had the written speech, but hey, how do you know that I really did it or I didn't do it? Well, for whatever reason, one day I was doing some research for a friend of mine at Sonoma State and found out that they actually had an audio of that speech, and I was completely blown away. So I thought I would just share it, you know, and talk a little bit about it. It's hard to believe that I was only 35 years old at that time. And it was very interesting because women's studies was very, very strong. This was 1975, and women were really on the move. And for myself, as a 35-year-old woman, During my 2 years at Sonoma State being involved with women's studies, let me tell you something. I found out quite a bit about who I was and why I was making choices. And it really changed my life. And I want to do a special shout out if she's listening to my instructor, Ann Neal. She was the head of the women's studies department at Sonoma State. And she was so inspiring and so encouraging. And when the day came, when I found out that I was nominated to even be a speaker, I was shocked. And then when I was chosen, I went in, I says, oh, I couldn't believe this. I'm going to speak in front of 5,000 people. What am I going to say? Well, first of all, I thought, if I'm speaking in front of all those people, I want to dress like one of my sisters, one of my suffrage. So that was my first channel, my first challenge. I says, you know, I'm not wearing a cap and gown. I want to dress like the suffrage movement. But what I'll do is I will wear the school colors. And guess what? They let it go through. And there I was in my graduation. In fact, I'm going to run the speech. And when you go on womenspaces.com, you'll actually see a picture of me in front of the microphone. So let's go ahead and set it up. You know, what a time. What a time this was. So here we are. This is Elaine B. Pine at the time in 1975 at the commencement for Sonoma State.
Before I start my speech, I feel we should all applaud ourselves for being here. This is our graduation. It's not just us who are up here to be applauded, but we should all applaud each other. And our parents who made the long trip. I know my mother came from Los Angeles. That sound familiar? Graduating from Sonoma State means many things. Obtaining a Bachelor of Arts degree in sociology indicates to me that I've been able to overcome a very negative part of my personality. That part that said, I have no right to believe I could meet academic challenges and complete goals. The part that said a woman of 30 was crazy to believe she could return to college and set goals for herself. The part that said a human being has no right to do something for themselves, for their own growth and development. Well, folks, here I am at 35, with 5 years of commitment and growth behind me. And I'm finally beginning to realize the rewards for believing in the human potential. Speaking in front of you means I have broken many of the chains of my past, those chains being ones of insecurities and fears that would forever dictate to me, those irrational fears that would tell me a human being should not expose themselves, because what they are exposing might be very negative. Therefore, don't even bother to take a chance. I remember once while talking to a woman I just met, who just expressed she was very glad to meet me. However, she was surprised I was so nice, since I had a reputation of having a big mouth. At first, I was extremely insulted that someone would say that about me. But after dwelling on it for a while, I had to admit I was somewhat of an outspoken individual. I was always expressing something or other, and I began to feel a little proud of my reputation, because far too long women have remained silent. Students have remained silent. People in general have remained silent. And I believe the time has come for everyone to start opening their big mouths wide and be heard. For after all, in the final analysis, what have we got to lose? Especially when we get in touch with the fact that so much is taken away from us when we remain silent. Another prime reason I've chosen to speak is to use myself as an example for other women who might be thinking of returning to school, who have children and are experiencing anxiety about even thinking of such a thing, or perhaps for those who have already returned after the frustrations of being away for so long. It is my belief you can do it if you just believe you have the right to do it. So many times I wanted to quit. So many times I just couldn't take it. But now that it's over, I'm glad, because I got in touch with my strength and realize the faith of having value and having faith in yourself. Another important strength I've developed over the past several years is the ability to ask people for help. If we only give each other a chance, you'd be amazed of all we can do for each other. Along with my own personal growth and development, during these past 5 years as a sociology major and with the help of a very close friend, have gotten in touch with and grown to better understand why many of us experience the world we live in as being alienating and out of our control, And why as people we have to struggle too hard, so hard to gain any type of control over our lives. At one time I believed that the individual was totally responsible for his or her own destiny. But that idea has changed. I realize now there are tremendous social forces that govern as well as condition human beings in a way as to control them. But I also realize it is not hopeless once we recognize that the social who brings upon that social control, and if we are willing to wage a struggle against having people control our lives and start taking a little bit control for ourselves. It is my belief that each one of us could ask, what can I do to aid in bringing about a more productive society? One where I have control in relation to what is going on and act upon whatever answer he or she comes up with. I almost have this fantasy. Imagine if each one of us just took a tiny goal and then got together collectively, what could happen? It would just be amazing. I almost had this fantasy that we were gathering, instead of graduating from Sonoma State, we were graduating to another type of world, a world that was free of war and oppression and all the other things I could name. At this point, I want to thank the people who have helped me to recognize my potential as a person. A special thanks to all those women involved in the Women's Study Program here at Sonoma State, who presented me with the opportunity to express myself on other levels outside of the classroom experience. There is a tremendous power in sisterhood, and being involved with women has and continues to be a very powerful experience. Being part of or teaching a women's studies class here is an experience I hope every woman out there enjoys while they're at Sonoma State. A special thanks to all the great counselors in the Counseling Center here. It's been great working with you, along with knowing you're there and all that Kleenex and all that other good stuff. And how could we miss but thank the financial aid department? Because I know damn well if they weren't there, I wouldn't be up here. And also a special thanks to my daughter, Susan, who for the past 5 years has felt the frustration and anxieties of term papers, tests, and elections right along with me. However, it's not over, Susie. We still have several years to go, perhaps a lifetime. Who can say? Since in the final analysis, education is an everyday experience. I would like to end now by reading a quote from Eugene Debs. Why I chose this is because it kind of sums up a lot of my feelings about the world today. And it kind of sums up my commitment and my feeling. In case nobody knows who Debs was, he ran 5 times under the socialist ticket in elections from 1900 to 1920. In fact, in the 1920 presidential election, he ran under the name of convict number 9653. He was in jail because he gave an anti-war speech. Years ago, I recognized my kinship with all living things, and I made up my mind that I was not one bit better than the meanest of the earth. I said then, and I say now, that while there is a lower class, I am in it. While there is a criminal element, I am of it. While there is a soul in prison, I am not free. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness, to listen to me. Here it was. That's 35 years old. My God, that's almost 40 years ago. I'm 78 now. Boy, I'm really getting up there. Woo, God, that just gave me the chills. Well, thank you so much for listening to that. And I hope it inspired you a little bit. Certainly inspired me, you know. And I remember that time that when that woman told me about that I had the reputation of having a big mouth. Well, I think I still have that reputation. And it's okay. Like I said, everybody's got to open their mouths wide and loud to let people know that we want peace. We want a better way of life on this planet. We want more diversity and more people of diverse natures to be able to live together and live together in peace. Well, lots to think about, but, you know, that's what Women's Spaces is all about, thinking and moving forward one foot at a time, one step at a time, one idea at a time, one moment at a time. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and I'm really excited. The song I'm going to be playing is Ushering Out the Old Year, and it's an instrumental played by Dragon Powers. And this is a special song I picked for Nancy Wong, because we're going to be talking about her Chinese experience, her experience coming over from Taiwan to the United States, and also talking about the organization she's president of, and also of some of the up-and-coming events, and above all, talking about what the Chinese New Year is and what it means. Do you realize, folks, how diverse this world is? I mean, we have Mexican food, we have Chinese food, we have Vietnamese food. We have all these different holidays, all these, it's what makes the human experience so exciting. The more diversity that you have, the more groups you can integrate with and become part of, makes it much more meaningful. Well, we're going to play this wonderful song, and when we return, I will be talking with Nancy Wong, who is the founder and president of the Redwood Empire Chinese Association. We'll be talking about their organization as well as some ideas around the celebration of the Chinese New Year and its meaning. So let's go ahead, and we're going to listen to Ushering in Out the Old Year. Like I went into another time frame or a place. Well, for you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And in the studio with me, and without further ado, I want to introduce my guest in the studio, Nancy Wong. And also, just as a little side remark, we have a wonderful guest also here called Judy Chung, who's also part of the organization. And she's just here to support Nancy, so I just want to welcome Judy also. Well, welcome, Nancy Wong. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning. Oh. So glad to be here.
Oh, it's just wonderful. What did you think of that music? Oh, my
that, God. It was so classic, so enjoyable, and so happy. All the instruments I haven't heard for a long time, the Chinese flute and the hand drum, you know, from Xinjiang province. Actually, our association, we do have that kind of hand drum and part of one culture dance. We use that, too.
Well, it's just beautiful music and a beautiful culture. You know, I've been so honored, you know, with Ken and I taking Tai Chi now, and it's just really getting into more of the culture and understanding it. Well, let me tell my listeners just a little bit about you. Nancy Wong is a Chinese-American who was born in Taiwan. She attended junior college in Japan and settled in California with her husband Joseph in 1977. She's been part of the Redwood Empire Chinese Association since it began in a garage in 1988 with the goal of teaching the children in her culture Chinese and the dances and all the languages. And I have to say that I've been to some of their events, and there's Chinese children, there's American children. It's definitely a diverse group, and learning about another culture is so important for children. It's just amazing. Nancy has been involved in many organizations and committees and served on the Santa Rosa City Council Advisory Board, the CAB, for 15 years, plus many other civic communities. And that's where we met. We met on the Community Advisory Board, and I have to say that she really welcomed me and answered all my crazy questions, because I'm an interviewer and I have lots of questions. She's been honored with various awards from the city, state, federal government, both personally and on behalf of the Redwood Chinese Association. She is the mother of 3 children and 6 grandchildren, and she is excited that her oldest grandson has started college and soon will begin the new generation in the Redwood Chinese Association here in Sonoma County. Well, welcome, Nancy. Is there anything you'd like to add? I know that one of your granddaughters is going to be competing in some sort of martial arts. You want to just mention that a little bit? Give her a little shout out?
Yes, we can shout out. Actually, when, you know, 6 grandchildren and 2 in San Francisco, they got the most rich, diverse cultural program. And especially their school attend high school, and they offering Chinese. So they take a Chinese as their second language. And the both, it's wonderful lion dancer, also the dragon boat pattern. I want to mention that oldest grandson just went to Hungary in July, Budapest, to represent the United States. Only high school qualified for the dragon boat race.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
What an honor, Nancy.
Yes. Then this another granddaughter, it's getting to the martial art, and she just qualified to compete in China in next year, June, in the city called Chengdu. And California, we're going to have about 100 competitors going over there to compete. First year for her, she's only 11. She's going to be almost 12 years old.
Oh,
so it's really exciting. Then rest the grandkids, you know, Dragon Ball Paler, then another granddaughter. She's doing so well at the San Jose High School.
Well, there's a lot to be proud of, especially, you know, when you start, you know, I know for myself, I'm only a first generation at my father's side. My father was actually born in Poland, and second generation on my mother, because my grandmother was born in Russia. So I know what it's like when you come over from another country and then all of a sudden settle, become a citizen, and then watch your offspring really become part of this culture and contribute so much. We have to remember how much is contributed by all of us who come over to this beautiful country. So it's really important. So I want to get into the first part of it, the fact that you did come from Taiwan.
Yes.
How old were you when you came to the United States?
Actually, I can't write too much because you only want me 125. I left Taiwan was 1967, went to Japan with my family. Then coming to the United States in 1970, only for a short 2 years. Then we went back to Japan. That's why in Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, I'm here since 1977. It's difficult. First time coming to the United States, don't speak the language. So I had to go to school to learn the English.
Where did you get your confidence? I mean, here you are. You know, you're in a strange land. You have to learn the language. Where did you get your confidence?
You know, my confidence, my strength, because I left my country. I was 18 years old and went to Japan. That's the second language I pick up. I have to learn Japanese to go to school. Then I come to United States.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to learn English to, I take care of my family, take my kids. I always telling myself, language is really important. Whenever you go to another country, you decided to stay there, pick up the language. I don't mean you had to be really deep, you know, writing or speech, anything, but at least pick up some daily language you can deal with. That's my strong point. Because the in Japan, I can count on my husband to help me go to hospital, go to nursery school, go to the preschool with the teacher. So I have to learn that language.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because I was in Italy. I was in Italy for 30 days, and I absolutely agree to you. Until I got some feel for the language and learned enough words, could I feel comfortable within the environment and to just communicate.
It's true.
So you settled first in Japan, then you came. What made you came to – what was the attraction for Sonoma County?
It's my husband's job that time, and he tell me, you know, we had to move to Santa Rosa. I said, where's the Santa Rosa? I only know San Jose because we lived there for a little bit of time in Indiana. He said, it's north from Golden Gate Bridge and about hour drive. So we come here 77. Our population only, I think, is 60 or 70,000 that time.
Right.
And so comfortable. We love this city and this county. And first year we stay here, we live here, and me and my husband decided this is our home. We're not going to move anymore. So we've been here 41 years.
Well, you've contributed a great deal to our community, and people need to recognize that. I mean, there were so many different events that I would go to, and there was Nancy, and you know, I had just met her, and it was a wonderful experience. Well, let's get into talking a little bit about the Redwood Empire Chinese Association. You're one of the founders, so talk a little bit. Why an association, and what was the motivation for you?
Okay. 1988, it's just a whole bunch of people get together, kind of like a social. We get together to have a potluck dinner or watching some Chinese movies. Then because I have a children in the school, I involved with the second language, you know, second language in elementary school, Henry Valley School. So I'm kind of step in to in charge that program. We offer different language. So then after I found the Chinese Association, we doing about the same things, helping the language, the culture program. We attend the Rose Parade, and I feel our association should serve more to the community for the different diverse, sharing our culture. That's the most important. A lot of people really don't understand too many Chinese culture. That's why we started a language school, the culture. Then 1996, we applied. We got a nonprofit approved by the federal and the state. So we're becoming 501c3.
I want to just interject something here. It's very interesting what you said about becoming familiar. I've been going to these racial discussions at the Arlene Francis Center with this woman by the name of Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence. I mean, the first time I think there were 10 of us. The last time there were about 40 of us. And the thing that comes up more and more and more is the unfamiliarity that once we get to know each other, once we get to know our cultures, our foods, you know, just to get to know each other, and we realize that there's really not a threat. We're just all human beings. I mean, there's a line in a song that Becky Hobbs, she reads, she says, the white man's heart beats the same as ours. When will they understand? You know, like, when will we understand that we're just human beings with different costumes on, or different faces, or different color skins, but we're just all part of the same experience. So that's very important that what you said. And the second thing I think that I really want to mention is one of the sadnesses of my own life is the fact that my grandmothers, all they could say is, we're from the old country, we only speak English, rather than doing the two languages, introducing you to the culture as well of your own language, as well as understanding that you're a citizen of this country. So I just wanted to just mention that.
It's true. I had a really hard time with my three growing up children. I forced them to speak Chinese at home. They hate it because they know this language, go to school, they can't get through. experience, my second daughter, we have a playgroup for her. And she, because before 3 years old, I don't speak any English to them. They had to speak Chinese at home. So all the play school speak, the kids speak English. They can't commute each other. So she's starting biting everybody because they take the toy from her. So then we started, my husband speak English with the children. Then I speak Chinese. So until the reading, writing, their struggle because they had a school regular, you know, work they had to do it. You know, I combine the Western and the Chinese culture. I'm not the tiger mom. I'm giving them a lot of freedom to do it. But now they're all growing up. They all, you know, work at a different field. And they all say, Mom, I'm so glad.
Right.
You did force me to speak some Chinese. No matter what, I was born here, raised here, but what they call themselves is a banana. Outside it's yellow and inside it's white. But if they can learn all the Chinese culture, the language from me, they feel it's different.
So wait a minute. So we have a new word. So Chinese are called bananas.
Yes.
Well, I personally love bananas. Bananas give us a lot of protein and a lot of potassium. Anyway, let's go into the. So you got this organization going. What are some of the things that you're doing and some of your activities, and how does that impact Sonoma County, or just do other cities have organizations like this, or is this a phenomenon to our city?
I think. From Northern, from San Francisco, Golden Gate, we're the only Chinese association with a 501c3. And we provide a cultural program with the community. We go to all the school, we call us if they have some problem with the new immigrant people coming in. And they senior home, we call us. And social worker, we call us. You name it, everything involved with the Chinese language, the culture, they called us to go help them. Because, tell the truth, our association has no any government grant. We all survive by ourselves, do the fundraiser, take the donation. And as the board member, you know, we all 100% volunteer. Nobody gets paid. We all 100% to serve to the community.
You know, KBBF is the same. We are 100% volunteers here. You know, this radio station is run by volunteers depending on the generosity of the community of your community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's, you know, it's so interesting. One of the things that I find very interesting, always have found interesting, is the fact that you have the Chinese New Year.
Yes.
I myself am a dragon. Mm-hmm. My daughter's a dragon. My grandson is a dragon. And I'm a dragon. And also, I just had a great grandchild who now is a little dog.
A dog.
So I'm reading up on all the different things. And I realize right now that the Chinese New Year's comes in February. And I know there's some events that we'll talk a little bit later. But right now we're in the year of the dog.
Dog, yes.
And then we're going to move into the year of
the boar.
The boar or the pig, they call it. And, you know, it's very interesting when I didn't like what I read about the pig. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was, you know, the way they kind of talk about it. But talk a little bit about, first of all, do you have any idea, but where do the animals, why is the animal so important?
So they have a 12, we call it zodiacs. We always start the year the rat and ending with the boar. So it's a 12 years circle. So whenever after the boar, then we're going to go back to the year the rat. So 12 animals. And most animal is existed. Only one it's not existed is the fair, just the dragon. I think back in olden day, the dragon, they always say, can fly on the sky. That's why you see all the dragon dance had the long sticks we're flowing to the air. That's the, you know, the dragon.
So the dragon is not a real...
No. I think they exaggerate. It's from the snakes.
Also, no, and turn it's symbolic.
Embolics, yes. Uh-huh. And they all has a different personality.
So what's the personality of the dog?
Also, now that you think this year, they had all the different years. This year is the golden year, or this year is the earth year for all the different things. See, I was born the year the boar, But the year I was born, the year the boar, it's water buffalo. I have a brother-in-law also born the year the boar, but he's 12 years older than me. You think it's the same, but I say, no, you're definitely a different personality with me. Then we found out the year he was born, the ox, it's a fire ox.
Oh, okay. So you have
different aspect the year. Yes. The dog is really, you know, is really loyalty. You know, you raise, everybody's asked the dog is the pet. They listen to you. You can train them, do a lot of things, and don't have any want to sneak out to somewhere. They always for their master. Really, if you have these kind of friends, they will be with you the whole life.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Yesterday, I'll bring a little personal story here. Ken was feeling very, very tired. And so he decided he's going to take the day to rest. And let me tell you something. Our dog was right there with him, our little
yes.
Rosie. She was just cuddled up with him. And what he said is it made it more easy for him to just relax. You know, so the dog is the loyalty.
It's a real loyalty. You know, a lot of true story. In Japan has one dog. They go to the train station every day with the master and coming home and waiting there. But after master passed away, he doesn't know. He still go there every day. So they made a statue for him, really popular in Japan. They call the Hachiko in Shibuya, the one famous station in Tokyo. It's a true story.
Wow. So they have a symbol of the dog, the
That's
loyalty.
Right. Loyalty, yeah.
Now we're going to move into the boar in
yes.
February. So what are the attributes? They call
the boar.
It the boar or the pig.
The pig. Let me tell you.
I like the boar better.
Yeah, I like a boar. You're right. I have two boar in our house, our oldest daughter and the youngest son. And I found out they are smart, but stubborn, really stubborn. And they don't have too many friends. But if they have a good friend, it's forever. You know, they treat you really just like a dog, part of the loyalty. And also, they don't talk that much, but it's hard worker, really hard work. They will, whenever the job they get it, they will finish. They are not going to give up. That's the, you know, stubborn. I call that stubborn. But they're really smart.
So when the Chinese bring in, like, I mean, when the Americans bring in New Year's, which is January 1st, mm-hmm. I can't believe that we're actually going to be on the air the last day of the year. I am so excited because I want to call people and give them a chance to be on the air. But, you know, we go, we have New Year's parties, we all drink in, and, you know, we do, and then we sing Auld Lang Syne. You know, how did the Chinese bring their New Year's in?
Okay, the Chinese New Year, we mostly celebrate the New Year Eve. And the most important we do respect our ancestor. This is not any religion. I mean, I raise my children, they all know the New Year Eve, the dinner, we have to have a feast, everything. You know, pork, beef, chicken, duck, I mean, fish, you had to serve with hat. Everything, you know, with hat to finish this wonderful dinner. And then we earn the red envelope from the parents, the children, you know, because we don't have allowance. Every year we're just waiting for the Chinese New Year, get this red envelope from the parents, grandparents, or the...
It's a red envelope?
Red envelope.
R-E-D.
Yes, it's red with the gold writing, good luck, prosperity, and the firecracker, and then you make a biggest noise is the best. You're going to scare the evil away and bring the good luck. That's Chinese New Year. We do eat a lot of food.
So the red envelope is like an affirmation that everybody gets for the year, like a kind of,
it has money in there.
Oh, so it's like a gift for the year.
The gift,
and it's a wish of prosperity, whatever is going. Oh my goodness,
yes.
I like that.
Yeah, but the kids really, you had to say Happy New Year to everybody and bowing, and you had to wear new clothes. The color had to be red, you know, bright color. You don't wear black during Chinese New Year. Absolutely no black color. You had to have a red or gold something, bright color for Chinese New Year.
I have a beautiful red sweater. I think I want to come this year. This sounds wonderful. I mean, it just sounds absolutely wonderful. Well, the segment is starting to wind down, and mm-hmm. I know you have a special celebration. Even though we're talking here in December, the celebration is happening in February. So talk a little bit about what the celebration is about and who can come.
Okay, this is open for everybody. We're doing this for 20-some years at the West Building, Santa Rosa Memorial West Building. And the New Year event is February 23rd. We encourage you get a ticket early as possible. You will see the flyer. I think after January, we will have the flyer all over everywhere in the Sonoma County, and hope some you can see some press Democrat has announcement for the local community event. I encourage you get the ticket ahead, because we can't selling the ticket at the door, but every year we do sold out.
Yeah, no, I know. I attest to that it's sold out every year, and the food is fabulous, the entertainment and the chill.
That's
watching,
right.
And not only what is so heartwarming to me is that I see so much involvement with the children, with the singing, with the dragon, and
yes.
all the different things that happen.
Yes, this is really, normally it's really good culture. You will see our dragon, we have a 3 dragon coming out. And the lion dancer and the culture dancer and our course and the martial art demonstration and our language school children always do some kind of performer really unique. They had to learn their Chinese, so they're performer some Chinese song, that kind of sort of things.
Well, you know, another thing that kind of strikes me is you really have to have a sense of belonging. You know, and doing something like this really gives you a sense of belonging or contributing. And I know Ken and I have gone to the celebration of the Chinese New Year's, I think, about 2 or 3 years in a row now. And we've gone to other activities with the organization. And it's fun and it's warm.
Yes, you're absolutely right. We just treat everybody as family. And you can join our association. We have a website, recacenter.org. And you don't have to be Chinese. You know, ours is...
You just have to be human.
Yeah. And we, we call this only once a year doing this Chinese New Year. But we really counting a lot of sponsor. For the ticket we're selling, it's not going to make that much money for the event. And also, we do giving out a scholarship for Sonoma County senior high school student. And this year, Julie, we do giving 5 out. Yes. I'm not on the committee, but I think, no. This year, the 2018, we're giving 5 students from Maria Correa High School. I think Pioneer and Color Lumen. Anyway, all the school we're receiving the application form. Either you're in our member, you can join our member for the family, $30 per year, tax deductible, or you just have to be aging descent to apply our scholarship.
What an accomplishment. I mean, here you come from another country, not knowing the language, you know, having to fit in, all the different challenges, and here you are in 2018 saying that you have 5 scholarships that you're going to offer young people of Chinese descent.
Now, this year we're special because they have too many kids, too good to pass on. So our scholarship committee decided, we had some personal, a couple members, they donate the extra scholarship. Normally, I think next year the budget is 3, but if we have more qualified kids, we have a really good heart association's member and board member. They always thought, oh, I can donate the 1. Or that's make the whole community so, you know, I'm really proud of our association too. Everybody works so hard for community. You should see we go into all the senior home, assisted living and low income senior apartment doing all our sharing, you know, Christmas carol, and next month is starting Chinese New Year. We book every weekend already to all over different the assisted living area.
Well, I'm so happy that we've been able to bring all this wonderful information to our listeners and to validate the what you're doing and to let folks know. And also to remember, go on to www.womenspaces.com. We're going to have a little flyer about the Chinese New Year, how you can get in touch with people. And I want, before we say goodbye, I'd like you to give the website one more time.
Okay. It's www.recacenter.org. And you will find out all the information from the website. And our New Year event, from after a couple of weeks, you will see the flyer. Also, the ticket has my phone number and Judy's phone number. Also, the ticket available is at the Aging Mart at a Glevin supermarket.
Well, all that we'll have all that on our website.
Yes,
thank you so much, Nancy Wong, yep. President of the Chinese Redwood Chinese Association here in Sonoma County. Thank you for all the wonderful work you do. And thank you for being on Women's Spaces. And thank you for explaining the wonders of not only New Year, but of the different animal signs. We're going out of the year of the dog into the year of the boar. So we wish everybody Happy New Year in January and New Year in February.
Happy holidays. And thank you for having us here. Oh, I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, my dear. My pleasure. Well, thank you, Nancy Wong, founder with her husband Joseph, is the president of the Redwood Chapter of Chinese Americans here in Sonoma County. And I want to just thank her so much for being on our show. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, and I have one thing I need to say. I have to do a shout out for the folks at the Kaiser Permanente for going out and for doing what they're doing. And I'm going to play a special song for them. You know, it's really interesting. There was a full page caring for our patients that Kaiser Permanente put into the Press Democrat, and I saw it in Sunday's paper. And I want to say one thing. I really appreciate this ad. I really appreciate what they're doing, but I want to remind the folks, if it wasn't for those women out in the street with those picket signs, none of this would be happening. And what they're doing is trying to bring more mental health services for the people in who they are caring for across California, not just Sonoma County, but all across the state. They want more mental health workers. They want better quality services for their clients. So I'm going to dedicate this next song to them. It's one of my favorite songs. It's sung by, by Beverly Grant, Bev Grant. You know, that's my middle name, Elaine B. But Beverly is my middle name. But this is by Bev Grant, and it's an old Union song, and it's called Whose Side Are You On? And when you come back, I'll have a few more commentaries and maybe a little poem or two.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Come all you poor workers, good news to you I'll tell. How the good old union has come in here to dwell. Which side are you on? 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 We're starting our good battle, we know we should win. Why? Which side are you on? 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 Workers, can you stand it? Tell me how you can. Will you be a lousy scab or take a union stand? Which side are you on? 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 Don't scare. side are you on? Which side are you on?
Which side are you on? I want to read something real quickly from the Press Democrat just to explain what the walkout was all about. Kaiser Permanente mental health workers, many clad in red shirts, picketed Tuesday near the main entrance of the Santa Rosa Medical Center as part of a week-long strike at Kaiser Hospital statewide. Mental health workers walked off the job demanding that Kaiser improve the wait times for patients between their initial appointments and follow-up visits. They also said more staff is needed to treat the growing number of patients seeking mental health services. So what they're doing is they're just asking for more, better for the patients that they serve. Well, this has been a wonderful show. You know, I want to let everybody know again that I am looking for people who I can call for the last day of the new year. On the 31st of December is going to be the last show for Women's Spaces. If you could email me at Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, at womensspaces.com, and let me know your phone number. I will give you a call, and we'll talk about what you'd like to say over the air. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I want to thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
In your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 17th, 2018.